Grace, mercy, and peace are ours this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. There are some times over the course of preaching the lectionary where you come to a text where you have no idea what it's about, and you recognize that you're going to put in some extra hours having to wrestle with this text, having to try to discern what it is that the word is saying and how it applies to our world today. There are other days where you read the text and you realize right away what it's saying, and you really wish there were an alternate reading or something else you could preach about. Today is one of the latter. We have in Mark chapter 7 a text on the dangers of being too attached to tradition to preach in Cramer Chapel. Cramer Chapel, where if we are known for anything, it is our love of tradition. It is our dedication to the traditions of our fathers and grandfathers. It is what we do. It's who we are. It's why we gather. It's why many of you are here. It's why we have people literally around the world who join us online every day, because they're looking for that depth and that meaning. And so I've wrestled with this text this week. I've looked at it, I've read it, I've studied it, and I've discerned a couple of very important things that I want to share with you. First, there are no direct flights from Fort Wayne Airport to the city of Tarshish. There are also remarkably few whales in Northeast Indiana willing to swallow an itinerant preacher. You know, I joke, but this is such a balancing act. That we have on one side this error that says that the future is everything, that we must leave our past behind and focus solely on the future. And we have on the other side of that this error that says, no, we have to do things the way we've always done them. And that somewhere in the middle is a balance. And we recognize on some pretty visceral level that the error that looks to the future is, of course, wrong. That if we leave behind the traditions of our fathers, of our grandfathers, and we walk away from what's come before us, we lose something important. There's this sort of visceral knowledge of that if we were to just walk away, we'd lose something we couldn't replace. Tradition matters. Tradition gives us meaning. I can remember being in the parish, working with my acolytes on the first day of confirmation class and training them, and I always did it in two phases. I did the, okay, here are the steps you have to go through to keep Miss Sue from yelling at you after the service. All right, these are the letter of the law things you must do, or she's going to notice and you're going to hear about it, and then I'm going to hear about it, and then your parents, you got to do these things, all right? And then we would take a step back after we'd practiced that, and I'd gotten sort of your typical middle school reaction that we all know and love. And I would say, okay, why? Why do we do this? What does this mean? What is being communicated each step along the way? And then we would take another round of practice. And it was always interesting that second round of practice, I never had to make any corrections. Not because they didn't make mistakes, of course they did. But because I never got to make the correction. They were starting to watch and say, hey, wait a minute, you missed this. Or you did that in the wrong order. Because suddenly there was meaning behind the action. Tradition gives us meaning. Tradition gives us rhythm. We live surrounded in a world of rhythm, from the turning of the seasons to our own heartbeats, to our own breath. Our lives are paced and metered by rhythm. And in the liturgy, as we back and forth the word of God, as we discuss and repeat and hear these things over and over and over, truth, when it's repeated, becomes unshakable. My wife and I learned this in the most interesting way when we adopted one of our kids, that she came to us and she had this incredible separation anxiety, particularly around my wife, Cammie, that if Cammie were in another room for too long, she would have to go look and check and make sure that that everything was still okay and that mom was still there. And finally, we decided the way we were going to deal with this is just to train her to think differently, to train her in what was true. And so we started this liturgy, really, where we would say to her, when mommy leaves, and she would respond, she always comes back. And so over and over, over weeks, when mommy leaves, she always comes back. When mommy leaves, she always comes back. And over days and weeks and months of repetition, it became true. It became internalized truth. It became something that you don't even think about anymore. It's just a fact. Tradition gives us rhythm. Rhythm grounds us in truth. Tradition connects us to something bigger than us. I had the opportunity a decade or so ago to walk the streets of Chester, England. It's a small town, still got the Roman wall around it, beautiful town, but one of the more beautiful moments was actually walking through Chester Cathedral, still a living congregation today. And as I walked, I noticed that the stones under my feet had been inscribed in some way, and it was difficult to make out. And so I spent a little time, actually, there just puzzling out, what is it that this said? And I discovered that I knelt upon the gravestone of six monks, brothers of mine who had served faithfully, who had died centuries before in a plague that left the monastery so devastated that there was no time even for separate graves. And I realized that even as my footsteps added to those that had worn away the last earthly trace of their memory, even as they faded from earthly sight, that their voices still rang true. That when I stand and say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, it is not my voice alone. It is not just your voice as we join week after week in that. It is congregations around the world. It is our brothers and sisters from throughout the ages, our fathers, our grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, confessing our faith with one voice handed down to us. Tradition connects us, and we need it. Tradition matters. We don't want to let go of that. And yet our future-focused brothers and sisters might remind us there's no single right way to live out a life of faith. Faith and even tradition look different in different places, different times, different circumstances. Even our own confessions declare that in the end, many of our traditions are adiaphora, precious, near and dear, but perhaps still adiaphora. When I was in seminary, one of my classmates circulated an anonymous newsletter, which is a really terrible way of theological debate. But the entire substance of this newsletter consisted of an article that was all about how the liturgy, particularly the specific liturgy found in Lutheran worship, was the one true, right, and pure way to worship God that was acceptable to him. Ignoring all of the other theological flaws around that, I have to wonder what happened to our poor brother when LSB came out. Really, anytime we get locked in to tradition, anytime the rote repetition of rites and ceremonies, as though the form of the thing were more important than the substance, anytime the form becomes primary, we lose the point of tradition. We might be Orthodox, but we are, as some say, dead Orthodox. Traditions of the past accompany, but they cannot substitute for the faith of today. You have left the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. Christ warned the Pharisees. Blind adherence to tradition robs it of meaning, robs it of value, robs it of connection. To the degree that we hold to traditions as the substance of faith rather than the expression of it, we will always struggle to keep things in balance. We will always struggle to maintain a proper perspective. The proper perspective is this: that all of this, old and new, present and future, that which is past, that which will come, points to the cross. That the cross is and always will be the last word. That in those moments when we forsake precious things to try to chase a cultural whim, to try to be cool, the cross has the last word. That in those moments when we grow so attached to the way we've done things that it hurts to leave them and we don't want to, even when we need to, the cross has the last word. And the last word is a word of joy, a word of hope, a word of forgiveness, a word of love. It is the central thing that has been handed down to us by our grandfathers, to our fathers, to us, to our children, and to generations yet unborn. The last word proclaims that our sins are forgiven, our chains are broken, that prisoners are set free, that death's reign is ended and that life has broken out, that darkness has come to an end and that light shines in the midst of it. This is why we gather week after week, day after day. This is why we sing. This is why we study. This is why we chant, we worship, we pray. This is what matters. This is who we are. We are children of the living God, called by his name, chosen from eternity, redeemed by his blood. We take our place in the unbroken line of witnesses who have testified, those who have come before us, those who will follow, faithfully proclaiming eternal truth now and throughout the endless ages. May we never lose sight of that truth. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, hold our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.